Welcome to a Burning Fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Our text is from Genesis chapter 19, verses 15 and 16. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened to Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and set him without the city. Now chapter 18, immediately prior to this, tells how God had told Abraham he would destroy Sodom and Gomorrah because, as Scripture says, their sin was very grievous, Genesis 18 and verse 20. And Abraham asked, Wilt thou destroy the righteous with the wicked? Genesis 18:23. And God said he would spare the cities if 10 righteous men could be found in them. Well, evidently there were not 10 there, and the cities were destroyed. Now, while Lot was living in Sodom, he was visited by two angels from God who warned Lot of the coming destruction. And Lot, in turn, warned his married daughters, but his sons-in-law mocked him. And then a strange thing is said of Lot in our text. The angels had to hasten him out of the city to leave it. He lingered to the point that they had to take him by the hand and bring him out. And we're made to wonder why Lot hesitated to leave, knowing as he did what was coming. Why did he not demonstrate a greater faith in God and his word? He certainly believed in God. He was a righteous man, the Scripture tells us, and Abraham had him in mind when he sought the preservation of the cities. 2 Peter 2 and verse 8 describes Lot as a just and righteous man who knew the city was wicked and that it deserved the destruction that was coming. His soul was vexed by the unlawful and immoral deeds of the inhabitants. He had every reason to get out, and to get out as fast as he could leave, but he did not. Now, he did not deny the truthfulness of the warning. He also knew the way of escape. The angels were pleading with him, and yet he lingered. Now, why would he do that? Well, the Bible does not give us a specific answer to our question, as puzzling as Lot's behavior may seem to us. But there are a number of plausible explanations that can be suggested. Maybe he hated to leave some of his family behind. He might have thought of considerable monetary investments that he would lose. After all, he had pitched his tent toward the plains for material gain. Could it be that he misunderstood the nature of God, thinking God would never do such a thing to anybody, regardless of how wicked they were? Some forget that the merciful and gracious God of love is also a just God, an avenger against those that do evil. What kind of God would God be if he treated goodness and evil just alike? Well, there are other possible explanations that we might offer for his hesitation, but none of them justified his stalling his departure. And whatever might have been his reasons, we cannot fail to see the folly of his delay. There was nothing to gain and everything, including his life, to lose. Time was precious and the situation was an emergency. Judgment on Sodom was sure. There was no escape from it. Everything was crying for him to go. It did not make any sense whatever for him to linger. How foolish we can see Lot was under those conditions. But have we not seen many others acting just as foolishly today? Both the young and the old, men and women, boys and girls, hesitate in doing as they ought in obeying the gospel, and it makes no more sense than it did for Lot. In fact, the consequences of lingering are worse. Life is brief on this earth at longest. James 4:13-14, Go to now, ye that say, Today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time, and then vanisheth away. Dear friend, do we not realize that thousands pass into eternity every day? Now to be sure, all that die shall be raised, John 5:28-29. but the day of judgment is certain to come. Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that the judgment. The day of the Lord will come, Peter wrote in 2 Peter 3:10. Friend, this world shall not stand, but it shall cease to be when the Lord returns. The destiny of each one will either be heaven or hell, Matthew 25:46. Have we not been sufficiently warned, and that these things are inevitable? Meanwhile, the way of salvation is open to us. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. But the way of salvation was also open before Lot. There is only one way to eternal salvation in heaven, and that's through Jesus Christ, Acts 4:12. Why does anybody hesitate to do what the Lord has commanded man to do in order to be prepared for that day and for that hour? Why does anybody see fit to linger unprepared? Why do you wait, dear friend? One thing we know. While God is merciful and His angels or messengers are appealing to mankind now to get right with God, God will not send someone to lay hands on us and force us out of the bondage of sin into the security of deliverance. If one is delivered, he must go on his own decision, voluntarily, willingly, submissively, obediently, or he will surely perish. And it will be far worse than the physical destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But people make many excuses for not coming to Christ. You know, some say they are good enough already, and others say they are not good enough to come. Some cry they are too young, and others say they are too old and they waited too long, and still others say they can't hold out even if they tried. Often we hear people complaining of hypocrites in the church, and yet they are refusing to obey God because of hypocrites, not realizing that they will never come to Christ. They and the hypocrite both will be lost in hell. It is sad when many people are misled to believe that they are secure when actually they have not obeyed God. They've been taught false doctrines of men, and they feel everything is well, but they're still lost. They have been told that they must wait until God calls them in some special way, some emotional experience, not realizing that God has already called them, and called them through the gospel, 2 Thessalonians 2:14. They're simply not responding to God's call. But after all is said and done, no matter what may be the excuse that one offers for hesitating, there not only is an answer to offset that excuse, but so long as they continue to disobey God, they cannot be saved. To doubt this is to doubt the warning God has already given to us repeatedly. How do you expect God to be pleased with you if you persist in turning away from His commands? The only reason a person ought not be a Christian is because he has not heard the gospel and therefore could not obey it. He has not yet learned what he must do to be saved. But once he knows, there is no excuse for hesitation. What one must do to be saved can be related in just a few words. First, we must be assured that there is something that you must do. Matthew 7:21, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Hebrews 5:9, Christ is the author of salvation to them that obey Him. In Acts 2:40, Peter emphasized man's part in God's plan for saving man when he said, Save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, friend, nobody can read these inspired words and doubt that a man plays a part in God's plan for saving man. People who heard the gospel in New Testament times were not Christians just because they heard the gospel, however. They ask, what must they do? Acts 2:37, Acts 9:6, Acts 16:30. But once they were told, they acted in obedience. Well, what is it that you must do? Friend, you must believe in Jesus as the Christ, the Son of God. John 3:16, John 8:24, except ye believe that I am He, ye shall die in your sins. The very first thing the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer to do, Acts 16:30, was to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you not know that without faith it is impossible to be pleasing to Him? Hebrews 11:6. Acts 18:8 tells us that many of the Corinthians, hearing, believed and were baptized. And even though some teach that salvation is by faith alone, That is a false doctrine that is never found in Scripture. No man living or dead has ever produced the Scripture that teaches salvation by faith alone. Oh, I know people teach it, but they teach it without the authority of God. But make no mistake, one must believe in Christ. It is in Christ where we must place our faith and our trust and our confidence. There can be no salvation without the right kind of faith. And you must repent of your sins. Luke 13:3, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Paul said, the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Peter said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but, notice, all should come to repentance. Friend, the message of repentance, the change of one's mind, is one of the essential steps in coming to God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And you must realize that you must confess your faith in Christ. Jesus said, if you'll confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father who is in heaven, Luke 12:8-9. And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation, Hebrews 10:10. The Ethiopian said, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Acts 8:37. No, we're not told to confess our sins, or that we believe God has already saved us. That's what some people teach. That's not what the Bible teaches. Of course, it is implied that we admit our sins by coming to Christ, but we're told to confess Christ as the Son of God. And you must be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. Friend, baptism is a divine command for salvation. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. Peter commanded those at the household of Cornelius to be baptized. Ananias told Saul of Tarsus, and now why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Peter wrote in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism doth now also save us. Paul said, for as many of you as been baptized into Christ did put on Christ, and when we're baptized into Christ, we're baptized into His death. Romans 6:3-4, and it was in His death that His blood was shed. That's where we reach the saving blood of Jesus Christ. How much more biblical evidence and revelation does anybody need to be assured of these things? How could God have expressed the matter any clearer? In the New Testament, when people were so informed, they acted, and they did so without hesitation. Saul was told not to tarry, Acts 22:16. Those on Pentecost were obedient that very day, Acts 2:41. The Ethiopian stopped his chariot and obeyed, Acts 8:36-38. The jailer was baptized straightway, Acts 16:33, the same hour of the night. Lydia obeyed there by the river, Acts 17:14-15. You do not see them waiting, hesitating, postponing, refusing for some reason because they did not wish to deny themselves the salvation God offered them. Nor did they wait until what some have called Baptismal Sunday. Such as that reflects a lack of understanding of the urgency in obeying the gospel and shows conformity to the doctrines of men when we must obey the doctrine of Christ. And once our time of opportunity is past, when, which is confined to this life, and while we have the presence of mind to respond from the heart, Romans 6:16-18, we shall have no other opportunity after this life is over. It is not difficult for any honest person to see the folly of lingering in the state that they are in, outside of Christ, lost and without hope. Do you wonder why God spared Lot? Whatever may be the reason, the record of Lot's deliverance from Sodom ought to serve as a reminder to us that hesitation and delay is to play into the hand of the devil and surrender the call of God to the desires of Satan. As the song echoes, there is danger and death in delay. Why, we see that in Lot. Wonder why we cannot see that in ourselves. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.